It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. You might be surprised by the number of prominent Pennsylvanians who've been hanging out in New Hampshire, site of today's first-in-the-nation presidential primary. U.S. Senator Bob Casey has been campaigning for Hillary Clinton. U.S. Senator Pat Toomey is stumping for Marco Rubio. And former Governor Tom Ridge was on hand showing his support for Jeb Bush. The Post-Gazette's Washington bureau chief, Tracy Moriello, has been following those folks, as well as documenting the growing popularity of Bernie Sanders, not only in New Hampshire, but right here in Pittsburgh. She joins us now by phone from New Hampshire. Good day, Tracy. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. When we spoke yesterday, the plan was you were going to go to the one quiet place that you knew you could do this interview from, and that was your car. Is that where you are now?
It is, and I apologize because there are snow plows outside my car right now, but we'll see if we could save them off for a few minutes.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to give our listeners a mental picture of you. You know, do you have a blanket? Do you have a hot beverage? Are you okay with all the snow up there?
It is rather cold up here. It's been hard to stay warm, but I'm managing.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully, go ahead.
The New Hampshire folks here are hardy people. The roads were really slippery last night, and I was going around to campaign events and thinking, geez, nobody's going to show up. I'm going to get there and be the only one in the room. And they came out. It was pretty amazing.
Well, any state where people drive around with a license plate that says live free or die, that tells you something about the kind of people that live up there. Hardy folks.
It sure does. They take this election very, very seriously. They understand that they play an important role in vetting candidates and deciding really who's going to get to keep going further on in the campaign. They really play a role in either helping marginal candidates really rise to the top and become serious contenders and start to get in some major fundraising. But they could also break a campaign here, and they really take it seriously. These people go to 5, 6, 7. I've met one woman who had been to 8 different campaign events, and I met her at her 9th. So, you know, they're really there for information. They go to Republicans, go to Democratic candidates, town halls. Democrats go to Republicans. They really want to know what's going on.
Well, and if you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call with a comment or question. 412-246-2002, email esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. Tracy, it sounds like half of the Pennsylvania congressional delegation is up in New Hampshire stumping for presidential candidates. It's interesting because, as you point out in your reporting, you have Senator Casey, who didn't support Hillary Clinton in 2008, but he's supporting her now. How is he explaining to people that he supported Barack Obama in 2008?
He is saying that Barack Obama was the right candidate at that time. Obviously, he's not in the race now, so he's not having to choose between two friends of his. But he is saying that Secretary Clinton's experience as Secretary of State has really helped her a lot and made her even a better candidate than she was 8 years ago. There's also, as you know, Bob Casey's from Scranton, and Hillary Clinton's grandparents lived in Scranton, so there's sort of that connection. When she campaigns in Pennsylvania, she never forgets to mention the summer she spent at her grandparents' house.
So when somebody says, what did you think Hillary Clinton might have been lacking in 2008, he's saying that her experience as Secretary of State is what has put her over the top, in his opinion, now.
That's what he's saying. I mean, it's also certainly made her a target of Republican criticism for how she handled Benghazi. But it's given her a broad experience. And he's saying that her foreign policy experiences will make her even a better domestic policy president because she's seen more of the world now and been involved in diplomatic relations with other countries.
So I mentioned Bob Casey and also Senator Toomey up there stumping for Marco Rubio, former Governor Tom Ridge supporting Jeb Bush. How does all this work? For example, you have a congressman, you've talked about Congressman Joe Heffel of Montgomery County up there supporting Hillary Clinton. She has
former
Congressman Joe Heffel of Montgomery County. She has campaigned for him in his congressional races. So is it an I'll campaign for you and you campaign for me straight up trade? How is this all arranged?
I do think that, that's part of it. I mean, it's a little bit of the who owes who what politically, just a way to show support. In fact, I didn't end up quoting him in my story, but I talked to Bob Gleason, the chairman of the Pennsylvania State Republican Party, and he said that he doesn't really know how much effect it has. In fact, he said that his brother went up to New Hampshire, and I can't remember if he said 2008 or 2012, but he came up to support a Republican candidate. And Rob said, what are you going up there for? That's a waste of time. But, you know, it's something that they all do, Republicans and Democrats alike.
Now, not all of the Pennsylvania surrogates have been necessarily helpful to the candidates they support. For example, former Senator Rick Santorum endorsed Marco Rubio, also a Florida, also a senator, currently a senator in Florida, and then during a televised interview, Mr. Santorum was unable to name a single Rubio accomplishment. How much has that damaged the reputation of the Pennsylvania surrogates?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually thought of it that way about how it damages Santorum's reputation, although, I mean, clearly it does. I think the other candidates here are really using it as campaign fodder. There's not even the candidates. There's PACs and outside groups that are just running commercial after commercial up here in New Hampshire. It's really hard to keep the TV on for more than a little while and not see a clip of Santorum answering that question on TV with they have a clock ticking away the seconds that it takes him to come up with an answer.
Ouch.
Of course he never does.
Wow. That hurts. That hurts.
Yeah. But we're also seeing some harm being done by surrogates on the Democratic side. If you were paying attention over the weekend to the Clinton campaign, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright and feminist Gloria Steinem were on the campaign trail for her and said some things that weren't quite too helpful. Madeleine Albright, I believe, said that she insinuated that all women should vote for Clinton because she's a woman. And, of course, the Clinton campaign is saying, no, they shouldn't vote for her because she's a woman. They should vote for her because she's a good candidate and because of all these policies. They didn't want it reduced to a gender issue. And then Gloria Steinem, actually, she insinuated that Bernie Sanders had so many young women supporters because they wanted to be where the young men were, and the young men were with the Sanders campaign. So those weren't messages that Hillary Clinton wanted to attach herself to, for sure.
So what you're saying is, you know, when you have a surrogate, whether they're from Pennsylvania or not, wherever they're from, it can backfire. When someone else is speaking on your behalf, it can help you, but it can also hurt you.
Absolutely.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Washington Bureau Chief Tracy Moriello, who is in New Hampshire following the New Hampshire primary, and also looking at the surrogates from Pennsylvania, of which there are many. As I said earlier, maybe half the Pennsylvania congressional delegation up there supporting different presidential candidates. Is that an exaggeration to say that, or are there really a lot of folks up there? It sounds like there are quite a few.
No, I mean, really, there's four up here that I know of for sure. I mean, there may be others that I haven't run into up here. But there's four for sure.
And, of course, one of the big issues, one of the big stories that has come out of this campaign is, and particularly in the last week or so heading into New Hampshire, is the rising popularity of Bernie Sanders among young voters in New Hampshire. This lack of a generation gap, which you have written about, Tracy, it seems to be the big story up there. How can you describe for us, so that we get a sense of it, this phenomenon of this older fellow, 75-year-old candidate, who everybody under 30 seems to be, if they're a Democrat anyway, seems to be in love with?
Absolutely. And even Republicans love him, his character. I haven't found anyone up here, Republican or Democrat, to say a bad word about him. Republicans love his character. They love his honesty. They don't like that he describes himself as a socialist. That's an evil word, especially for older people who, you know, grew up during the Cold War. They equate that to Marxism, communism in China, and, you know, they can't bring themselves around to that. But they like him as a person.
Well, you know, you pointed out that that for older people, when somebody says I'm a socialist, glosses themselves, if you will, as a socialist, that it is a scary thing and that they do associate it with frightening Cold War imagery. But, you know, Bernie Sanders is as old or older than the people that are complaining about this. So he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Has he talked about that maybe, you know, why he's not afraid to use a word to describe himself that even as few as 8 years ago, that would have been like committing political suicide.
Right. He's just unapologetic about who he is, about his age, about his beliefs, about being a democratic socialist. He is who he is, and that's part of the draw. People are looking for an authentic candidate, and they like what they see in Bernie Sanders. I think that's the same reason that a lot of people like Donald Trump. They view him as authentic in quite a different way than Bernie Sanders. But, you know, you see the attraction to two very, very different candidates for a similar reason.
Now, you have looked into the popularity of Bernie Sanders in Pennsylvania, where we have a primary in late April. April 26th is the date. How popular is Bernie Sanders among young voters in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, I think that our primary is at the end of April, so we're really not seeing a whole lot of momentum around Bernie Sanders right now. I'm thinking that will grow. His supporters in Western Pennsylvania, including the gentleman that I quoted in my story, Adam Wells, they're very, very passionate and articulate and willing to work to ramp up some excitement. But I think it's pretty early. I mean, I don't know how much Western Pennsylvanians are really paying attention. I'm thinking when they start paying attention, though, especially the younger folks, I think there will be a groundswell for Bernie Sanders, especially, you know, Pittsburgh is a college town. We've got Carnegie Mellon, we've got Pitt, we've got Duquesne. So I think we're gonna see that in Pittsburgh if Sanders is still in the race then. We'll have to see.
Well, it's hard to imagine that what is going to happen tonight is going to hurt him. All the indications are, and the polls don't always reflect exactly what's in the minds of New Hampshire voters, but all the polls seem to indicate that Bernie Sanders is going to do well, if not win by a landslide. So that would certainly help his chances of still being relevant by the time we get to the Pennsylvania primary. But you spoke to a young man, a 26-year-old guy from Aspinwall, who is a Sanders supporter. And this was a very interesting story. What can you tell us about this young man?
He's really who came to mind when I was talking about the smaller group of very passionate Sanders supporters that are in Pittsburgh right now.
And he's running a Twitter account?
Yes, he's running a Twitter account called Pittsburn.
Pittsburn.
He's a prolific tweeter and trying to gain support through social media mostly.
So have you been able to tell if he's getting some traction with this? Is it blowing up on Twitter?
His social media presence is growing, particularly since our story ran a few days ago. I don't know if I would call him the center of the Pittsburgh Bernie movement, but he's certainly sparking it. At least to some degree.
Yeah, he figured out a clever way to do that with the, the Twitter handle, at Pittsburn.
He did.
Yes.
But again, we'll see if Sanders is still relevant. I mean, but by the time the candidates get around to Pennsylvania, he's doing very, very well, as you said, in New Hampshire, but he's got to get through South Carolina and a lot of other conservative states and places that Hillary Clinton won in 2008.
Well, there have been rallies. I remember, accidentally walking into one on Murray Avenue in Squirrel Hill, where there was a rather large gathering of people on the sidewalk. This was maybe a couple of months ago, but they were into that "Feel the Burn" chant. They were letting everybody know they were there. So it'll be interesting to see if they're still hanging around in a little over a couple of months from now. In the meantime, Tracy, I'll put you on the spot. What based on what you have heard and seen and experienced in New Hampshire, what predictions do you have for tonight?
Oh, geez, I wouldn't really attempt to make a prediction on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, it's clearly going to be Sanders. I'd be surprised if Hillary was able to win, even though she was behind here in 2008 and ended up winning by 4 percentage points. So anything could happen. I guess there's a distinction also that I would draw between young Sanders supporters and young Clinton supporters. I was at the University of New Hampshire on Thursday night before the Democratic debate, and there was this really motley grassroots group of Bernie Sanders supporters that turned out with homemade signs and chants that they were making up on the spot, and it was really just an organic group that grew and grew and grew. And then as the debate began, that crowd kind of scattered to go watch it in their dorm room, and very suddenly, a couple of dozen Hillary Clinton supporters showed up with all matching signs and matching buttons and chanting, and Hillary Clinton's motorcade came by, and they said, okay, we're done, and they left. So they have a very, very well-oiled machine that's putting their resources really where it counts. In fact, I saw a lot of those same Hillary volunteers a few days later outside another event. So they're really targeting their message and targeting where they go, whereas the Bernie supporters are really more of an organic grassroots group.
That's a very interesting contrast. And I would strongly urge anybody, if you are interested in reading some of Tracy's stories, to go to the Post-Gazette website and check out her work. Before I let you go, you hear it's almost like it's all incorporated into one word, first in the nation, New Hampshire primary. It's never just New Hampshire primary. They are understandably proud of the fact that it is the first presidential primary in the nation. But I understand that there is some question as to whether that's going to continue, or you know, whether they might have to continue to fight for that spot at being first in line. What do you know about that, Tracy? What are people saying about it up there?
I guess that's not really something that I paid a lot of attention to. I do know that by law, I believe it's state law here, or in New Hampshire, is required to have the first primary. But, I mean, what happens if another state passes a law that requires them to have the first primary? I don't know what happens. So that's not really something that I followed so closely.
Okay.
I do know that the parties are starting to implement penalties for states that have early primaries.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see who's first, but there's a long way to go and a lot that's going to happen between now and then, and we're definitely looking forward to a primary in Pennsylvania, and hopefully some of that same excitement will occur here. In the meantime, Tracy, what's the temperature now in your car? How cold has it gotten?
Cold.
Are you running the motor?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay, well, that's good. So at least you're staying warm. Well, we appreciate your retreating to that quiet place in your automobile to have this conversation with us. We've been talking with Tracy Moriello. She is the Post-Gazette's Washington Bureau Chief covering the first in the nation New Hampshire primary. Tracy, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up, will the Pennsylvania primary still matter in April? We'll ask political analyst Terry Madonna. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.